come out. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing.
There seems to be at least some excitement around the league for what Matthew Golden can do for the wide receiver core, for the wide receiver room for the Green Bay Packers. They're already starting to talk about fantasy. They're already starting to project. And take it for what it's worth, right? Like, we have no idea. But, you know, some of these guys, they do this year-round. And so ESPN.com put out a list projecting the 2025 NFL rookie leaders in stat categories. 10 of them, actually. So the curiosity got the best of me, and of course I scrolled down to receiving, and I was like, well, let's see what they think about the Green Bay Packers' newest wide receiver. Chewy, they have Matthew Golden projected to be the number two rookie this year in the NFL behind Tet McMillan, who is with the Panthers. Here are the numbers they project him to have. 889 yards and 6 touchdowns. Sound about right for a rookie wide receiver?
No. Sounds a little high. I think they rank them so high because there's so much uncertainty in that room. There's really no superstars. They're all kind of the same type of guy. They didn't say receptions, just touchdowns?
Just touchdowns.
Yeah, yards and touchdowns.
So 880 would probably be 50s? 60s?
His explanation is that Golden could easily start week one. So instead of sort of being worked into the offense mid-season, where then you're trying to play catch-up, they think he could start accumulating stats week one.
The question is, where are they going to play him? Because I think they like Dobbs in the slot, so he's their zebra receiver. And then can he beat out, no, not Dobbs, sorry, Reed.
Mm-hmm.
Dobbs is the Z. Your Z typically catches more balls. It'll be interesting to see where they let him compete. Because he is a speed guy. The X is typically the fast guy. Doesn't catch as many balls. But we'll have to see. I don't know about starting at the end of this beginning of the season because they like to break guys in like this. And they really go player by committee. It doesn't really matter who starts.
Would your answer change if they do eventually deal Dobbs at some point before the start of the regular season?
Yes. I think ultimately they want him at Z.
Yeah, I agree.
You know,
I think
they want him at Z. I think projecting to the end of the season, him at Z, Reed in the slot, Watson at X. That's a lot of speed. It's nice to have speed. So I love the kid. I think, you know, I hope he turns out the way they think he is. I think he could be special.
Joshy, you did a deeper dive. You said you found some more numbers from what Mike Clay has to say about Golden, etc.
Yeah, Mike Clay projects every player and what he expects them to get on all the teams. So Matthew Golden is projected to have 105 targets, 64 receptions, 889 yards, and 6 touchdowns. That is first place to Jayden Reed's second place, which is 82 targets, 56 receptions, and 669 yards with 4 touchdowns.
The interesting thing is going to be how Dobbs responds, because he can only go one of two ways.
Mm-hmm.
He can go balls to the walls and say, okay, I'm probably not going to be here,
but I got
free agent
money
here, get after it, or he's going to pout and go the other way. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't know where he's going to go.
I don't know if the Packers know which way he's going to go, for sure. Right? Like, they had, you know, high praise, you know, talking about some of the receivers, you know, working with Matthew Golden, but guessing in the back of their mind, they're going, okay.
Do you think Pittsburgh wants him? And they're just waiting to see what Rodgers does? Because they're obviously not going to move Dobbs before Rodgers commits.
Correct. But I also think the Packers would want to wait just to make sure, you know, what if Golden shows up for, you know, OTAs and mandatory minicamp, and he isn't where they thought he was. He's you know, a little bit behind.
Yeah.
Like, right now, Romeo Dobbs is that insurance policy. And if he continues to grow and we hit training camp, and, oh, man, this guy's ready to go. Now Dobbs becomes an expendable piece that you could trade. Right now, I think Dobbs is an insurance policy.
Like, if Watson didn't get hurt, he would definitely be gone.
Dobbs?
Yes. Or there'd be a better chance of him being moved.
Correct.
I don't know. What is it? Leopards don't change their spots?
Sure.
Nailed it.
I mean, I can't see him when they drafted these two receivers in the first three rounds being
I mean, the writing's excited on the wall. About it.
The writing is on the wall.
Let me ask you this, Chu. When Joshy rattled off those projections by Mike Clay, Clay has Golden projected to be more productive than Jaden Reed in year one. Do you think that's accurate? Do you think that's how it's going to shake out? Because I can make a strong case that it will not. Jaden Reed will still be the number one wide receiver and Golden will come on. But maybe they do feel pressure to go ahead and get this guy involved early and often because of where they drafted him, because of his speed, because of all of these things that they like about him, and that he will end up. If you had to guess right now and project into the future, Miss Cleo, what does your crystal ball say?
Well, the knock on Reed is that he's not very good against man, which is very concerning because a lot of teams play man. I don't know. I like Golden. I liked his negatives in the draft reports out of all the receivers. You know, I thought those were fixable. Some aren't fixable. You know, if you don't have a fifth gear, you don't have a fifth gear. So on paper, yeah, I like Golden better than Reed.
Do you think so, Gabe? You think
It's not that I don't like Reed. I just think he may be at this time be a little limited. We're going to see what he does this offseason and how he looks at the beginning.
You think we've reached the ceiling on Reed? What we've seen is the best we're going to see from Reed?
I think what happened is at the beginning of the season, okay, you can scheme guys open at the beginning of the season. There's only so many plays you can scheme open because you run out.
Mm-hmm.
And then it becomes, all right, you got to beat the guy in front of you.
Up to you.
And I think that's why he...
Well, and also, going back to the snap counts from a year ago, they almost exclusively played Jaden Reed in the slot.
Yeah.
They weren't moving him around. They weren't putting him on the outside. Part of the reason why they like Matthew Golden is because once he develops, I mean, he's going to start on the outside, and then once he develops, you can kind of move him around as this chess piece. Jaden Reed is not that. He's going to be in the slot.
Yeah.
And even... I mean, some of the snaps that he would be getting when he, you know, if they're going with a different formation, he'd line up in the backfield as a running back. Those could be going to Savion Williams. Based on snap counts alone, Wicks was getting more snaps than Jaden Reed last year at the end of the year.
And this happens too, guys. It's you know, he had a pretty good rookie year. And I've seen guys like, oh, I've arrived. I'm here. And you don't work as hard in the offseason, right? Now there's competition and there's pressure on the guy. Let's see what he does. You know, see if he elevates his game. And then we'll know if his game isn't elevated, then we'll know he plateaued. That's the best he's going to be. So I will give him a pass because I've seen players do that. Have a good year. Comfortable. Have an okay year. You got to see how he follows it up. You know, and Wicks is another one because you remember the gush last year. Hey, Wicks could be the number one guy. Well, you weren't.
No, but he was getting more. He was getting more playing time than Jaden Reed late in the season.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see if these guys grow, and if they don't grow, then they plateau. That's the best they're going to be.
We'll put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Infinity Exteriors poll. Mike Clay projects Matthew Golden to lead the Packers in targets, receptions, yards, and touchdowns this season. Do you agree? He does have him ahead of Jaden Reed. Beyond that, guys, you go to Mike Clay's projections. And once again, and Joshy, you're kind of our fantasy guy around here, but my takeaway from this was don't draft Packers players. And that's even Josh Jacobs, who you could make the argument was the, you know, the bell cow for the offense last season. Nobody for the Packers is really ranked very high. Josh Jacobs is the highest at 8. I saw Jordan Love on here as far as quarterback rankings go. He's way down on the list. I don't know what off the top of my head. Was it like 16, 18, something crazy like that? Like, your reaction, Joshy, to where these Packers players are from a fantasy football standpoint?
It's sort of as expected to me because the Packers do distribute the ball. They don't have the guys like a Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, Nico Collins, Amon-Ra St. Brown that absolutely demand the ball at a higher rate than everyone else. You can make the case that Matthew Golden will eventually be there. I do think there will be times where a rookie is a rookie and he gets lost in a game. The game gets too big for him. He has mistakes and they can't put him on the field. I do think there's some sort of value to each and all of these guys at a certain level. And you never know how injuries are going to work out here. Because if you lose one or two of these guys, you're going to have no option but to play a Dontavian Wicks if Jaden Reed gets hurt, or vice versa. Like, if one or two of these guys go down, you're going to be kind of battling for who even should be out there, and they're just going to have to either sink or swim. A lot of it has to do with them not being, frankly, viewed as one of the more talented groups, but they're deep. And when you have that, it's kind of a mishmash. Oh,
they're deep-ish. Having a bunch of average guys doesn't mean you're actually deep.
There are...
You know what I'm saying?
There are 28 teams that would love to have the Packers' depth. There are two teams who think they have a better overall. Like, they don't have the top end. But the Packers are 5-6 deep at the wide receiver, and many teams would like to have that as
More teams would rather have the top end.
Yeah, of course.
But this is all Love. Love's got to make the Pro Bowl this year. And I don't mean, oh, seven quarterbacks didn't go, you're in the Pro Bowl. He's got to go to the Pro Bowl.
Oh, yeah. But him being this low on the fantasy rankings doesn't shock me at all. This is a team that ran the ball over 50% of the time. And when it comes to fantasy football, the rushing stats always end up meaning more. So if you've got someone like Kyler Murray, who's going to take off and run more than Love, like, he's going to be more valuable in fantasy football than actual football.
But we have also said that we'd like to see Love use his feet to move the chains a little bit more.
Yeah, but he's not going to...
But I think that was a pivot,
gonna, like,
Gabe.
Suddenly run for 500 yards.
I think that was a pivot. That was a pivot in the beginning of the season, because they're like, we're not real good at throwing the ball.
Yeah.
But we are really good at running it. I don't think they wanted to do that. I think he was forced into doing it.
But even
I think
they're gonna... Josh Jacobs is still eighth on this list, guys. Even, again, as I said, with him being the bell cow of the offense last year, even with the ball going through him, he is still the eighth ranked running back. Do you think that's too low, Chu? Do you think Josh Jacobs will ultimately, at the end of the year, be a top five running back in fantasy football?
How old is he? I mean, because running backs...
Good question. 26? I would say 26 would be my guess, too, but I'm guessing.
27?
I mean, he should be.
He is 27. Turned 27 in February.
All right, so he's a little on the downside, you know? Your peak is 26. And it's not like a huge drop-off, but he's, from an age standpoint for running backs, he's already hit his peak, so he's going to be on the downside. He's still good, and I'm sure that's why he's eighth. That does seem kind of far down the list, though.
Last night on the Weekly Wager, we discussed the Jordan Love over-under passing yards. They have it at 3,600.5 for Jordan Love.
You got to go over. If they want to even sniff, they have to be over that.
He had more than that in 2023. He had less than that in 2024. Obviously, there was missed games in there and a hobbled Jordan Love. I think Matt LaFleur wants to pass it more than he did.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they were forced into a situation where they were running the ball more than probably he would like.
So you take the over?
I love the over. 3,600 is pretty mediocre.
I mean, he's still, he almost had 3,400 last
year.
3,600 is playoffs, lose first game. That's what that is. If he's under 3,600, would you agree?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'd worry about the
4,000.
But also,
4,000, you're in the mix.
But also, like, they have to, they as a team, not just Jordan Love necessarily, because to Josh's point, whether it was the injury, whether it was the receivers not, you know, growing, they pivoted to running the football.
Correct.
And I think those receivers in Jordan have to prove, hey, we should throw the ball more than we run it.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're going to start where they did a year ago in terms of being this run-first, you know, team that grows into a pass-first team if those pieces continue to grow.
Before we move on, because we got Top 8 at 8 coming up next here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, I want to take a look at the tight end numbers. Where do you think Chew, our guy, Tucker Kraft, is on the tight end list projecting for fantasy this year, according to Mike Clay?
And this is AFC and NFC?
Yeah, NFL.
Whole league.
6, 7, 8?
11.
Ooh.
I thought it was low. In my mind, I had him top 10. Now, you could say, 11, you're splitting hairs. But, like, I had him as a top 10 tight end from a production standpoint in the league this year. So, I think he will end up higher than he is currently projected.
And I think this speed will benefit him. Not his speed, but the speed of the players around him, or it should.
Clear out?
Yeah, essentially. Like I said, from him, I just want to see a Tucker Kraft route. You know what I mean?
Just for him. That's his thing.
Seen that, you know, halfway through the season. I've seen that play 14 times.
And it works.
Bread and butter. Because I had bread and butters. I don't want. It's probably more just bread.
Not necessarily buttered bread, but yeah. You know, hey. Yeah. Still a part of the combination.
Man, I kept looking for you on that Favre documentary we were watching last night. I watched it with Chase, my 16-year-old. I was like, look for Chew! Look for... No, that's not him either. No,
I didn't really want to be on it.
I think I saw Frankie's chin in a couple of the photos.
There was someone's eyeballs, yeah. Right?
I definitely saw Frankie there in the
periphery. So he liked beer at 24, Sue, right? I mean, jeez, I'm crow.
Wait, that's your takeaway?
He drinks beer?
When did you stop drinking beer?
I think when he transitioned from a grinder to NFL boy.
Probably. when I got two booze. Last week?
It's a new thing.
Hey, yeah. As the filmmaker / storyteller of the group, let me just put this out there. I don't think the point of that portion of the story was the
What's
booze.
The problem?
I don't think it was the booze. I think, I mean, the ladies walking around in the thong bikinis.
I wasn't
on the
there. Right. Number one. Let's sure, just sure. put that on the record.
On the record.
I was not there. I didn't get the call. Now, I probably would have went, but I didn't get the call.
What, were they judging some bikini contest or something?
I don't know.
All right, we'll take a break. We've got top 8 at 8 coming up next. Stick around.
Let me tell you about our friends at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, because there is no better time to upgrade your windows and doors than right now, because Pella is offering up to 6 years of 0% financing. I can't wait to take advantage of that, because I set up my free in-home consultation, committed to nothing, but they came in, and for me, in the house that we have, we weren't necessarily looking at the windows, we were looking at the doors. Getting a new front door for the house, and the options that they had, the customizations, the different ways that they could show me, they were seemingly endless, and that's what Pella can do for you, not just for doors, but of course, their bread and butter, the windows. And then you get 0% financing for up to 6 years. Certain restrictions apply, deal ends May 31st, 2025, so visit PellaWI.com today, and when you do, tell them that I sent you.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He sounds like the Beatles.
What? Anyone?
This is a new one on me.
Listen to his interview. The way he talks. He sounds like Paul McCartney. Ringo farted and it was horrible. It was absolutely horrible.
On 94.5 ESPN.
We were just talking about our friends over at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel Milwaukee, and you know it's known for its endless ways to win. Friday, June 27th, they're showing why that's the standard with the highly anticipated season finale blockbuster drawings. Watch your entries from Enchanted Spins, Unreal Treasures, and Boundless Bounty roll into drawings where $300,000 in cash and prizes is up for grabs. Be there to win your share June 27th only at Pottawatomie. There is more information available online. You must be 21 years old to play.
The top 8 at 8.
Name something that follows the word pork.
You pie.
Huh? One category.
Name something people take with them to the beach.
Turkey.
The top 8 answers.
The first thing you buy in a supermarket.
Turkey.
The top 8 at 8.
A food often stuffed.
Turkey.
The top 8 at 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Name Popeye's favorite food.
Chicken. Oh my God.
Show me chicken.
The top 8 at 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What do we got today, Gabe?
Memorial Day, always a big movie weekend, kicks off the summer blockbuster season. So it's a big weekend for Jen's guy, Tom Cruise.
Yes!
It is a big weekend for Tom Cruise. So what
did
I'm looking
Tom
for
Cruise
today...
Did you see Tom Cruise was on Pat McAfee yesterday?
I did.
And I texted you guys and said, 2 degrees of separation now. I know Pat. Pat knows Tom. We're getting there. We're getting there.
So I've got a list of 8 things in front of me. You guys are going to guess back and forth. Once you each get one incorrect, you are going to... We're going to open it up to the fans, 800-990-3776.
My computer.
Oh, okay.
800-990-3776. Whoever gets the last one on the list wins an ESPN Milwaukee prize pack. I am looking for the names of the 8 Mission Impossible movies.
Oh, there's no way. Out. There's no way!
Callers, hurry
what?
Up.
What? I mean, Mission Impossible 1, Mission Impossible 2, Mission
I've never
Impossible.
Watched one. I hate movies like that.
What, action
Impossible?
Movies?
Yeah.
Do you know these? Like, are you? Do you know all these names?
I did. I know them by heart. No, Do I know them now that they're written down in front of me? Yes.
God bless America.
Have you seen them?
Is there an obvious answer here of just simply Mission Impossible?
Well, yeah, one I think was called Mission Impossible, but then...
Mission Impossible All is right. correct. Came out May 22nd, 1996.
Man, I love that movie. So good. I don't know if it holds up. Like, if I had Chase watch Mission Impossible 1, would he be into it, or would he be like, Mom, this sucks?
It depends. Does he like, spy movie thrillers?
Yeah,
James Bond. I'm guessing they're all kind of the same.
Are they like Bonds? James Bond?
Except an American version.
Okay. And he was in all 8?
Correct.
Wow. Any other guesses?
Well, again, I don't remember there being titles attached to the early ones. So you're not going to guess?
I've never watched one.
Mission Impossible 2.
Is number 2. Came out May 24th, 2000.
How about 3?
Mission Impossible 3 came out May 5th, 2006.
How about 7?
No, stop. Okay? So then it feels like they probably started tacking on some titles.
Mission Impossible, The Final Mission.
Ooh, that would be good, but I don't think they're willing to cash it in yet.
That is close, but it is not correct.
Okay.
I know Fallout was one.
Mission Impossible Fallout is number 6 on the list. Came out July 27th, 2018.
Go ahead.
Does anyone know the name of the current one he's promoting?
Yeah, the one that's coming out today.
Yeah.
Do you have a love-hate with Tom Cruise? Because I thought didn't like him.
It's a love. It's 100% a love.
You're taller than him. You know that, right?
I've heard that, yes.
I mean, when we started the show, she claimed that she did not like Tom Cruise. Her actions since Jen has become a part of the show scream that she loves Tom Cruise.
Did I tell you the U.S. Open that my buddy saw him?
No.
Him and Jack Nicholson?
Uh-uh.
I never tell you guys that story?
No.
So they rented a house, him and Jack, out in Lake Country area, and my buddy was driving around, kind of well-known in Okachi, and pulls up right next to him on Harley's. Jack Nicholson and Tom Cruise, and Nicholson makes him roll down at his window, and he says, "Hey, is there any place around here to go get a good burger?" And he's like, "Holy sugar, that's Jack Nicholson." So he said, "Follow me." Drove him to a place to have a burger. Met him. Said there. He said Cruise was kind of quiet, but Nicholson was great. And they went inside and had a burger.
That's a
so you
great
were
day.
Closer than you thought.
Oh, because he was in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Well, and she wasn't in Wisconsin at that point. I think she was gone at ESPN for the U.S. Open.
The one in Erin Hills.
Yeah, it was in 2017.
What do you mean? Where was she? Was here.
In 2017?
Were you?
No.
You were in Connecticut?
Let's move on.
Okay.
What year do you think it is right now?
I have no idea.
I'm actually very interested in the answer to this
question. It's in the 20s.
Let's go back.
I mean, I do that when I fill out date,
when you're writing a check,
that was
fogey.
8 years ago.
That was?
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
The movie that is coming out now, is it Dead Reckoning?
So Dead Reckoning is number 7.
Wow.
Dead Reckoning, which I'm assuming they're going to drop the part 1 because the name of the last one is not Dead Reckoning Part 2. But
it's
Dead
not,
Reckoning
oh.
is number 7. It's the
it was,
one that came out in 2023.
I thought it was going to be Part 2, so I got to be honest with you. I'm really scraping the bottom of the
barrel.
That's
all right.
Here.
We got 5.
I honestly thought you guys would get the top 3 because
1, 2, 3.
Yeah. And then if you would have got anything else past that, I was going to be surprised. And you've gotten 2.
Reset the list for us.
Mission Impossible 1, 2, 3. Mission Impossible Fallout was number 6. And Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning is number 7.
800-990-3776. Can you name the Mission Impossible movies? It sounds like how many we have left?
We have 3 left.
3 left to win top 8 at 8 today. 800-990-3776. Let's go out to Bill in Brookfield. Bill, you're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can you complete our top 8 at 8 list?
I can. Big Mission Impossible fan here. So we have Ghost Protocol.
Ghost Protocol was number 4. That was the first one after the first one they actually named came out in 2011.
And then the next one after that was Rogue Nation.
Rogue Nation came out July 31st, 2015. Number 5 on the list, leaving the one that comes out today.
And then Chewie wasn't far off, but it's The Final Reckoning.
The Final Reckoning, yes, okay. Is the new Mission Impossible movie.
Then. Wait, nice. So is that the last one then?
I believe so. I mean, Tom's getting a little old.
I didn't realize Memorial Day was a big movie.
Yeah.
Weekend.
Kind of kicks off the summer blockbuster.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We're going to the movies. We're going to see Lilo and Stitch.
I loved Lilo and Stitch.
Did you really?
Yeah, that used to be a cartoon growing
yes,
up with
yes.
the kiddies.
But now it's live action. It's like people in anime. Is it animation when they do the mm-hmm. creatures? CGI?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're going to go
tomato,
see that
tomato.
This weekend. All right, good list. Wish I could have gotten more. I guess.
Good.
Should I come around? Should I say the thing that we don't say, which is...
I mean, you don't say it. We say it. You just don't say it.
All right, I'll continue to hold out then. It's more
even,
fun.
Even though we know
it's
what
more
the
fun
actual...
for you guys to talk about how much I love Tom Cruise and for me to protest too much. We will take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewie. But before we do, guys, we've enjoyed having Professional Construction Inc. help us with our home projects. Whether it's a woodpecker putting holes in our siding or whether or not we have a balcony that is leaking water into our kitchen, you know who we call every single time to help us out? The folks over at PCI. And that's a big reason why when we were redoing our basement, we also used the fine folks at PCI. And can I just tell you, they did an incredible job giving us some extra space. Chase and his buddies go down there. They play video games. They have some pizza. They do all the things, watch some shows. And I love that they helped us out with that. If you are in the market for a new home or a home addition or a remodeling project, the PCI team is here for you. They've been in business for more than 20 years, which means they know what they're doing and they will do exceptional work on your project. To learn more about PCI and see some of their work, go to ProfessionalConstructionInc.com. That's ProfessionalConstructionInc.com.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewie.
And guess who didn't hit the hole? Zeke Elliott.
Ashton.
Well, I mean, yes. You all right back there?
That's so true.
There's a direct shot. She took out the sniper rifle and just...
No, she got right up to me, took out a Glock, and just shot.
Yeah, right in the balls.
On 94.5 ESPN. Maybe we're just
trying too hard when really it's closer. Doesn't matter what age you are, low testosterone can be an issue with any guy. That's where Mentality comes in. Local healthcare facility specifically dedicated to helping men feel and perform at their very best. Mentality can help you the way they've helped me. Well, how did they do that? Well, just kind of feeling tired, groggy. Just didn't feel like myself. Figured that was a part of the aging process. Turns out, those were actually signs of low testosterone. And if you feel those ways as well, Mentality can help you too. Just go to the website, lowtusa.com, book an appointment, go through the process. And if your testosterone levels are low, they'll come up with a customized testosterone treatment plan for you. This is not one size fits all. No, they will make sure your levels are where they need to be. Mentality allows treatment to fit into every guy's lifestyle. Learn more about Mentality and their low testosterone treatments at lowtusa.com. Maybe we're just trying too hard when really it's
closer than it is too far. There is a part of me that is done talking about the tush push, and then there's another part of me that still wants to address a few things that happened yesterday. So we talked a little bit about the colorful language that was used by Eagles owner Jeff Lurie. Can't say it on the radio. I appreciate that he was saying, though, basically, we love that we created something and did it so well that y'all had to make a rule to try to stop it. As you know, it did not get passed. The ban did not get passed. So the tush push lives another year at least. But the thing that stood out to me from the reporting of the tush push saga developments, all of the things, was this, guys. In an article that was written yesterday, I believe it was by Seth Wickersham, and I tell you all the time, if Seth Wickersham writes something, you read it. He said multiple sources noted to Pryor, a reporter for ESPN, that it was refreshing to hear about a rule and its impact from a player's perspective, and it could lead to more players weighing in on significant potential rule changes. That, of course, in reference to Jason Kelce showing up in the middle of the meeting and basically pleading the case for the tush push to stick around. I was shocked. I was shocked that this was a revelation, guys, that all of a sudden it was like, well, we heard from a player who it actually impacts. And that was very powerful. Gabe, why in the world weren't they doing this before? Anytime a rule is up for debate, why in the world aren't you listening to and hearing from the players who it actually impacts?
Because most of the players, like when they've been going through the kickoff stuff, players don't know. Like Keyshawn Nixon had no idea how the new kickoff rules were going to impact him until you went through it in practice. This is, to me, a rare situation where they're looking to ban something. And that's not typically what they do a lot. I know they got rid of last year. It was the hip drop tackle. Maybe that would have been. But again, most of these rules are, you know, coming from, you know, okay, we're going to do this and we're going to find out and see what happens after we enact it. And with Kelsey, he ran the play for so long. And also, he's retired. Most of these players, I don't think, want to go up to Minneapolis for a owner's meeting in the middle of their offseason. So the fact that Kelsey's retired and hasn't been playing, but did, I think this is just such a special and unique thing where you had one team lobbying to keep it. Like, I can't remember another time where one rule, one play had this type of debate within the league itself, where a team felt like they had to bring in a player to defend their point of view.
The only reason they do that is because 90% of the rules are geared toward the offense. 90%. You just mentioned the hip top. Hip. That's an offensive rule, right?
Correct.
It hampers the defense. Tush push hampers the defense. This whole, like, let's keep drives alive and get scoring and this. The reason this came about is because they don't tackle anymore. You see the scrums, right? And they said the officials are, it's too hard for them to gauge. How many times do you just see a scrum of offensive linemen and then pushing and stuff like that? And a tackle. This was never a problem. And I am not a proponent of just because a team does something very, very well, you change the rule. But there was no reason back to 2005 to allow players without the ball to assist players with the ball. It's stupid. It's dumb. The Eagles would be probably, the percentage wouldn't be as high. But if they just quarterback sneak, with no assistance, it would still be in the 90s.
Because I think it was an 87% success
yeah.
rate.
From so what I saw. It's like just, it's just yeah. why they did that, I have no... Well, I know why, but I just think it's not good.
Also, if you're going to have a guy promoting it and saying, we like it and this is why don't you have Dexter Lawrence up there, the nose tackle, who
yeah.
twice a year has to have a massive humanity bear down on him, plus Saquon Barkley, Jalen Hurts, and whoever they decide to put back there as well.
It is dangerous because the only way to stop it is to get lower than the offensive line, right? That's what you got to do. You got to almost submarine. So look at, you know, a D lineman's head in a compromised position trying to get lower than the center.
Or higher, as we saw with the Washington Commanders, although we learned that
yeah,
was not a successful.
It's just, I don't know. I'm not a fan. And I understand because you do something. I don't like taking that away because you found a loophole, and loopholes are good.
As you told us earlier in yeah. the show, but I want to be clear on something.
Oh, so you're
going
to tell us the loophole now?
No.
Okay.
Nice try.
I
want to be clear on something. I'm talking philosophically across the board. To me, there is an ego here from the league, from the owners, from the people in that room, that they're over here just arbitrarily making rules that benefit them without, it seems like, ever going to the players and saying, what do you guys think? And Joshy, to me, that was the part where I was like, what a concept. When you guys are making rules about the game, how about you have the players that it affects in the room to your point, Joshy, and I agree. Could they have also gotten a nose tackle in there to say, well, actually, I'm on the other side of this sucker, and it ain't all that great. That would have been great, too. But my point is, the hubris of these owners who are trying to make decisions that don't exactly affect them, but do affect the players on a play-by-play basis.
I know logically it sounds surprising, but we have to also categorize this properly. These are a bunch of billionaires
yeah.
who
yeah.
their greatest desire is getting what they want, not necessarily being right. So Jeffrey Lurie went out, made those absurd comments. What this became to him was I'm going to throw my weight around and make a move here, regardless of anything else. This is me getting people on my side because I do what I want and I don't get told no. David Sampson, who I find to be a detestable person, the former president of the Miami Marlins, talks about this stuff in great detail, and it's rather illuminating, where the whole, like, jockeying and whipping up votes and all, it's like, I did this for you in the past. You owe me this. It's all these owners and these billionaires with massive egos, never being told no, never not getting what they want, more so trying to work politically to benefit themselves and their, like, at a certain point, I think for, as you can see with the Philadelphia Eagles, this became less about the moral rightness of letting us run this play. This became a moral fight to prove we can swing our stick bigger than you can.
But I just don't understand, because if money is always the thing that is motivating these people, these decision makers, where's the money? Show me the ledger that says that the tush push is bad for business. That's what I don't understand. Like, you can't quantify it. You can't break it down to pennies and dimes and dollars and tell me that it was affecting their bottom line.
I would argue that more explosive plays is more conducive to the NFL, and that's how they've kind of supercharged their product. So bringing it down to a play that goes off, that has a predetermined ending almost 100% of the time, is not good for the overall product.
But there's a very basic tenet of the world which also says that if every play is an explosive play, they're not exciting anymore. Part of the explosive play being great is that they only happen every few plays. So if the league is trying to cater to, we want every play to be an explosive play, that's just not how it works.
Let me ask you a question about Murphy. You think that he kind of got thrown under the bus because he's in the club, but he's really not?
Yes, correct. 100%.
Because he's not a billionaire. He's just, he's, we'll let you in the door.
Well, he's not an owner.
Correct.
Yes, yeah. Because no one wanted to put their name on it.
Correct.
Their franchise.
Yeah.
And it's Nebulous Packers versus Jed York, who, if you read his comments, seemed pretty sick of it, against it, but wasn't the one leading the charge.
Well, and again, you listen to somebody talk about the tush push for literally an hour. Right.
Right. Yeah, see, that's... and that's an important thing. He gets on his bully pulpit and gets to speak to these other influential people and command the room. That is enticing in and of itself to these people in those rooms.
I'll vote for it if you just shut up.
Right.
We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We'll wrap up the show right after this. Stick around.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I have told you how many times.
I know.
Do not mess with electricity, Chew.
And I don't. I did. I did. But
there was
I don't.
An incident?
There was one.
Plumbing, you're going to get wet. Electricity, you're going to die.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Oh, we've got a number of polls that we've got on the Infinity Exteriors Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter polls.
Dainty or sturdy?
No, we did not go back and relitigate dainty or sturdy.
All right.
Just because, again, I have with Jordan Love, so he's listed at 6'4", 220 pounds. I have a hard time calling that dainty. That's sturdy.
But Frank Thomas is a massive man, and Bo Jackson said he was too much of a wuss to play football. So that theory goes right out the window.
Well, yeah, but I wouldn't. But I'm not calling Frank Thomas dainty. He's still a sturdy man.
What do you call him?
One of the sturdiest.
But he didn't like to get
just
hit
big
in
hurt.
Football. So what do you call that?
Well, soft.
That'd be soft.
Teddy bear. Oh, yeah. Soft.
That'd
okay.
be soft.
Yeah, come on.
Stop yelling at me.
So on the Infinity Exteriors poll, the first one, could you accurately fill out all 50 states on a blank map of the United States? So far, 72.6% of people think they can.
I'm going to call BS. I don't think they can.
This is one of those things where you vote on it thinking that you can, but if somebody put a map in front of you, panic
sets
in quickly.
I mean, I got all the states. But
yeah, you literally mixed two around.
I mean, that's pretty damn good.
I believe most people... I shouldn't say most. I believe there's a significant portion of people who will be able to get all 50 states down, but they'll have a slip-up. They'll slip up on some of those lesser-known
states. Like Kansas,
states.
Nebraska.
Okay. Yep.
Like
what,
Chewy did.
What continent could you do the best in? And take...
You mean like altogether? Well, it's North America without a doubt.
No, I'm saying take that out. Take that out.
Europe, because I know the shapes of many of them.
Yeah, I think the shapes,
Australia.
I guess so. Let's say Australia. Yeah.
Asia?
Antarctica.
Asia gets dicey for me.
I'd nail Antarctica.
Yeah.
Is that top or bottom?
All right. So Chewy would struggle.
I mean, I'm just asking.
Chewy would struggle.
If you had to just fill out all seven continents, do you think you could do it accurately?
Yeah. We're not going to do it, but
no, we just don't have
most confidence there.
Yeah, we don't have the maps and technology to be able to do this for Chewy, so we're just not going
to
do it.
Do you know how to change the blades on a Toro 50-inch?
I could.
No, you could. Well, out of anyone here, yes.
Yeah. Is it because of the flannel?
Yeah.
If he was wearing a rollback and I was wearing a flannel, would you say I had a better chance?
The only thing that keeps you alive is the beard is back. That's about it.
Today's second.
It. There's nothing a YouTube video and a little
that's
it.
Cheating.
Okay, you gotta cheat.
Oh, youth. Go ahead, Gabe. What
else? I mean, watching the YouTube video is the same as somebody showing you how to do
it. Come on.
Well, somebody showed you how to do it initially. Well, not on that specific board, but somebody showed you.
Yeah.
I guarantee when there's an electrical problem, your dad's not going to YouTube. He knows how to do it because he's a grinder.
He's a master electrician.
I know. I'm a master of something.
The word master, like he's got certifications.
Yeah. Those are overrated. Not in electricity, plumbing, though.
Today's second Infinity Exteriors poll. Should Tyrese Halliburton's father be allowed to attend the Eastern Conference Finals after being banned from games for the Giannis incident? 71% of people saying no.
Okay.
Should not be allowed to attend.
Oh, really? I thought it was the other way. Mm-hmm. Come on, people.
Should
be
he
nice.
Be allowed to attend?
It's just pop.
The answer is nice. No. When are you nice?
I just think, you know, he made a mistake. He kind of owned it. He half owned it. He didn't go the whole way.
Well, that's the thing. The thing about owning something, it's kind of a one or zero proposition. Either you do or you don't. And he really didn't. Because he tried to tell me that he was just yelling, yay, over and over again.
Okay.
Like no one ever has, ever once.
Yeah, I didn't boot him out.
Mike Clay projects that Matthew Golden is going to lead the Packers in targets, receptions, yards, and touchdowns this season. Do you agree? 55.6% of people disagree.
Yeah, I would disagree as well. Rookie. He'll be good, though.
I don't know, man. I just don't. With the way that Jaden Reed was used late in the season last year, I've got questions about Jaden Reed doing it again.
I'm going to give him a pass because of his rookie year. Thought he arrived. He didn't. He's got to realize that.
His last eight games, Chewy. Jaden Reed, last eight games, 28 targets, 19 receptions, 237 yards, 3 touchdowns in his last
games.
He'll
bounce back.
Games.
I'm not saying he's going to be great, but he'll be good. He'll be good. No?
Just bad numbers.
Yeah, they're not great.
I literally now have questions about everybody in that wide receiver room. We're supposed to not have questions about Jaden Reed, but we do because of the way he played.
Competition
in the second
is
half
good.
Of the season.
Competition is good. Cream rises to the top.
That was a state-sponsored product.
You're wearing your Locos gear today, not Packers gear. I don't know. Are you having pizza tonight?
This thing smells. That's why I can smell it up even more. I'd never wear a Roebuck to work out in. It's sacrilegious.
Well, the Tausch coming up next.